Matthew 7, if you'll find Matthew 7, first book in your New Testament, going all the way down to the end of the chapter, beginning with verse 24. Our text will be 24 through 27 of Matthew 7. So find that portion in your Bible today. And good to hear the pages turning. Appreciate you bringing your Bible to church and looking at it. Please keep it open because we're going to look at many of the phrases and passages that are in this story Jesus gave, verses 24 through 27. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's Word. 24, 25, 26, and 27. If you'll please join me on the odd-numbered verses. This is Jesus speaking, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." My dear Father, I pause now to ask your help as we preach the message this morning. We certainly have no strength in our own flesh to be of any help in blessing the people today. It takes your Spirit, God. It takes your power upon us. And I pray for that liberty that only He can give and bring to a service. And we'll thank you for it. May this, Lord, get down into our hearts and help us today. In Jesus' name is my prayer. Amen. Thank you, BC. Draw your attention to these verses. I don't have one phrase to make a title from today because I'm going to really look at all four verses in their entirety and speak to you on the subject, the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. That's what we've got here. We've got the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, and I'll tell you what I mean by that as we get into the message. Lord, bless us today. Fill us, I pray, with your power. Oh God, may your Spirit come upon us, both speaker, listener. May your presence be in this auditorium. It's always a good day, Lord, when you come to church. And I pray that you'll come in this time. Make our hearts tender and receptive to your word. And may we have your power, your portion in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 7 is the last of three chapters that make up the Sermon on the Mount. You got chapters 5, 6, and 7 there in Matthew. Now, when you come down to verses 24 through 27, that is the conclusion or the very end of the message that Jesus preached. Now, the conclusion of a message is the most, the whole message is important, but the conclusion of a message is where the net is drawn. If there is a vitally important part of the message, it's at the end. I never forget one time we had a visiting missionary. It's a good way to shoot yourself in the foot. And I think I was preaching on, I don't preach on hell often, but from time to time, if you preach the whole counsel of God, you have to preach on the subject of hell. And I was preaching on the torments of hell. It was as quiet in here as I ever remember it being. I mean quiet. And right before my last statement, his cell phone rang. And ring, ring. I thought, whose phone is that? And I saw the missionary reaching in his pocket to turn his phone. Not a good way to get support. Amen. If you're looking for support. And, oh, this amazes me that businessmen who are responsible for businesses, I mean, they are responsible for the business, can come to church without a cell phone, but a junior in high school has to have one. Amen. I still marvel at that. I just marvel that a junior in high school is so busy that he's busier than a businessman. Amen. And so he's got to have his cell phone, you know, because of all the clients that are checking in on Sunday. We certainly don't want to lose any contacts. Amen. You know, so just I tell you what. And some of the 13-year-old girls, too. I mean, they're important, too. You know, they got their phone in church. You detect a little bit of here. Yeah, you're probably detecting right. Amen. That's good. But anyway, the conclusion of the message is where the net is drawn. You wrap it all up and you attempt to summarize all that has been said throughout the entire message. You attempt to make the conclusion pointed and personal. Jesus was the ultimate teacher. He was the ultimate preacher, the pattern for the preacher. Here he is concluding this message. He has given the people countless truths that would affect them throughout their life greatly concerning many different subjects. And you got to go all the way back to chapter 5, verse 1, the Beatitudes, blessed is the man, blessed is the man, blessed is the... All this dealt with in chapter 6, all this dealt with in chapter 7. You come down to the end, here it is, the conclusion of the whole message. Summarizing it all, wrapping it all up, Jesus says, here is a man, and Jesus says, I'll call him a wise man. He's heard these sayings of mine, and he does them. Jesus says, I will liken him to a man who builds his house on the rock, and when the rain and the floods and the wind beat on that house, it will not fall. And Jesus said, here is another man. I will call him the foolish man. The foolish man is a man who hears and he does not these sayings of Christ. And Jesus said, I will liken him to a man who builds his house on the sand. And when the rain and the floods and the wind beat on his house, it fell. Now, here you go. This is the summary. This is the conclusion of all three chapters, if you will, of Jesus' lengthy message, 5, 6, and 7. Here you have two men, one wise, one foolish. Now, they represent people in this church. They represent me. They represent you, not just men, women, young people, boys and girls, married couples, single people, elderly folks, doesn't matter. These two men are a representation of all of us that are here this morning who come to church to hear the Word of God preached. Now, I want to point out two major things, two major parts of the message this morning. I'm going to point out to you things that were the same. And then I want to point out to you things that were different about these two men. Things that were the same and then things that were different. First of all, things that were same. Let's look at the things that were same. First of all, the sayings were the same. The sayings were the same. Look at verse 24, if you would. Now we're going to go back and forth in these scriptures, so keep your Bible open. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. You see that? Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine. Verse 24 and 25, talk about the wise man. Verse 26 and verse 27, talk about the foolish man. But the sayings were the same. These sayings of mine. I want you to notice that they were the same in origin. Jesus said these sayings of what? Mine. They were Jesus' sayings. They were His words. It was His message. It was His truth. These sayings had been spoken by Jesus Himself. And Jesus said, I'm speaking to both men. I speak to both men, both the wise man and the foolish man. All both of you men have heard the same words from my mouth. It wasn't Jesus teaching the wise man and Peter and John teaching the foolish man. No, no, no. It was Jesus speaking so both men could hear. Both men heard Jesus speak the same sayings. They were saying the same sayings in origin. Now also think about this. They were the same in text. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean the message was the same to both men. The message was the same to both men. There wasn't one topic for the wise man and one topic for the foolish man. Jesus said, these sayings of mine, as Jesus called them, were the same for everyone. Now, folks, this is true today. One of the amazing aspects of the Word of God is its all-inclusiveness when it comes to people. The Word of God is all-inclusive. The message of the Bible, the truth of this book, are you listening? Transcends geographic boundaries. The message of this book transcends financial statuses. The message of this book transcends educational opportunities. The message of this book transcends cultural differences, even generations separated by time and lots of it. The message of this book transcends those times, generations of time. The same, the biblical truth that was applicable in the first century is just as applicable today in the 21st century. And it has the same effect on our lives. You know what you got in your lap this morning? You got a relevant Bible. Relevant for 2007. I grow weary of hearing people blame their, you know, a lack of dedication to Christianity and Christ on, you know, well, it's just such an evil world in which we live. And I do believe we live in an evil world. And I told my Sunday school class this morning, I believe that we are asleep at the wheel when it comes to how much satanic intrusion is in the world today. Some of you are asleep at the wheel with all these video games. I'm telling you, it's real, folks. Now, you know, I did not make a lifetime study of the matter of spiritual warfare just simply because I don't like it. But some people have, and I'm going to tell you something, it's real. But I get weary of hearing people say, well, you know, the satanic intrusion and the sin of our day and age, and it's just such evil times, and these are the last days, you know, you can't. Oh, no, no, no. The Bible, that's like saying the Bible was good up until 2001. That's like saying the Bible was good back in the 1950s, but it's not good since the Cultural Revolution. No, the Bible is relevant today. It's a 2007 Bible. Okay? It was good in 07, I mean 007. I mean first century 7. And it's good in 21st century 007. It's good today. I mean the same things. There is not one message for Americans, a different message for Koreans, a different message for Hispanics, and a different message for Europeans. And then when you get to Madagascar and you get to preaching over there and teaching the Word of God, the same truth that has blessed American people can bless Malagasy people. You don't need a different Bible. You don't need a different message. You don't need different truth. There's no new truth. It's all in this book right here. This book, which is the sayings of God. The truth of God in this book right here is for all people, everywhere, at any time. Truth is changeless. The Word of God is not bound. It's all good to everybody. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All the blessings of His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. You believe that? I do. I believe it. I wouldn't be a preacher if I didn't think this book was relevant for today.
It's a 2007 Bible. The sayings were the same. They were the same in origin. They were the same in text. There wasn't, one message for the wise man and one message for the foolish. Now, wait a minute. They're not the same sayings, but the exposure was the same. They both heard. Verse 24 says, the wise man heard, heareth these sayings of mine. Verse 26 says that the foolish man heareth these sayings of mine. These men were both exposed to the same sayings of Jesus. They both heard. And boy, how important it is to hear the truth. That's why we try to keep distractions to a minimum, again, in an auditorium. Especially in this day and age. The day and age of gizmos and gadgets and lights and sounds. And if it doesn't make a noise, crawl and flip over 10 times, we can't look at it. That's why people don't read. And so you want to keep attention. Why? Because it's important that we hear. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What a blessing it is to be exposed to Bible truth. John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How vital it is to be exposed to Bible principle, to hear it taught and preached and opened and unfolded. And that's the kind of preaching that we try to do here. We try to, for the most part, preach expository Bible messages, taking a text of Scripture and opening it up and unfolding it and explaining it to you, friend. Doesn't matter what my opinion is. What matters is what this book says. Okay? That's what matters. What this book says. This book will make men free. Both of these men had the same exposure to God's truth. Are you with me so far? We're talking about things that are same with these men. They had the same sayings. They had the same exposure. Number three, they had the same storms. Now, I want you to do me a favor. I'm going to read the first phrase of verse 25, and I'm going to ask you as a congregation to read the first phrase of verse 27. Are you ready? You got 27, I got 25. 25 is talking about the wise man, 27 is talking about the foolish man. You ready? Verse 25, first phrase. And the rain descended. Go ahead. That same thing? I'm reading second phrase, and the floods came. Go ahead. I'm reading third phrase, and the winds blew. I'm reading fourth phrase, and beat upon that house. That sound like the same to you? I don't see any disadvantage to the foolish man. Do you? The same storms. The same identical storm. The storms are the same. Both men built houses designed to stand the storms. The storms were the same. Folks, you know what I have gathered after 27 years of ministry? Essentially, the same storms beat on everybody. Now, I just stood at the beginning of this message today and read to you the last names of 6 families in this church who lost loved ones the last 7 days. 6 relatives. Not just acquaintances. Relatives. By and large, the same storms beat on everybody. That's not just my opinion. Let me give you a little scripture on that. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Common to man. The storms that we all encounter have the same damage potential. The storms are the same. Now, there might be a little variance here or there. There might be a little difference between your storms and my storms. But I believe life falls out to everybody in pretty much the same fashion. All in all, life balances out for every person between the negative and the positive when it comes to testings, when it comes to trials, when it comes to temptation, when it comes to storm, the storms were the same. The The sayings were the same. The same source and the same text of those sayings. The exposure was the same. They both heard. The storms were the same. Identically the same. That's where our similarities end. That's about all the sameness you can squeeze out of those four verses. So now let me give you the differences in these two men. The things that are different in this passage. First of all, I'm going to start at the end. I'm going to work my way back when I get to the differences. First of all, I'm going to say that the end results were different. Look at verse number 25. Look at the very, toward the end of the verse, verse 25. Talking about the house that the storm beat upon. It fell not. Now look at the end of verse 27. And it fell. Now can I suggest to you those are two drastically different results. The end result of the men's lives, if you will. Not just a house made out of brick and mortar or wood. The house here is life. Your life. Mine. The end result of these men's lives was completely different. One man's life fell tragically. The other man's house fell not, stood firm. Now, if our government was analyzing this story, they would immediately say something wasn't fair. Somebody got shortchanged when it comes to subsidizing. And this wise man, he wasn't subsidized fairly. The opportunities were not equal. There you go. Somehow, some way, he was disenfranchised. This foolish man. I think we've already discovered that that's not true. I think we've already seen from the text so far that they heard the same sayings from the same person. The same sayings. I think we've already seen they both heard. I think we've already seen that they both had the same storms. I don't think there was any advantage that the wise man had over the foolish man. I don't think there's any disenfranchising. I don't think there's any unfairness here. There's no unequal opportunity. They both had the same opportunity. Different results. Tragically different results. Something else different I see in this. The choice of foundations was different. Verse 24, the Bible says this man built upon a rock. And then verse number 26 says that the foolish man built his house upon the sand. Rock or sand. Sand or rock. Listen, they weren't given a foundation and told, do the best you can with it. They chose what kind of foundation they would build on. And they chose either to build on solid rock or they chose to build on sinking sand. And folks, everybody in this room, from west to east, from north to south, inside this building, each one of us, we are building a life on one of those two foundations. We're building our marriage on rock or sinking sand. We're building our relationship with our kids on a rock or on sinking sand. We are building life's relationships, life in general, on either a rock or a sinking sand. And the choice is mine and the choice is yours. Foundations was different. We're different. Now these differences are contingent upon each other. Listen, the reason that the one house fell not is because it was built on the rock. The reason one house fell was because it was built on the sand. So they are contingent upon each other. The fact, if his house had been built upon the rock, his house would have stood the test of time. And if this man over here, the wise man, if he had built on the sand, his house would have fallen. They are contingent one upon the other. Now, one more difference, and this difference makes all the difference. The applications were different. The applications were different. Look at verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth
them not. The applicate, same message, same speaker, if you will, same text, same exposure, same storms, different end results, different foundations because of a different application. One man, here it is, one man applied what he heard. One man did not apply what he heard. And I challenge you to find any other difference in this passage. And the reason the house fell, it was built upon the sand, and the reason it was built upon the sand was because the man didn't apply what he heard. And the reason the man's house did not fall, and it was built upon a rock, is because he applied what he heard. You see, the Bible will work if you work it. Truth will work if you work it. Never has been truth that didn't work. The people who don't work truth. That is our problem, folks. That's where we are. And I've thought about this thing for some time, and you know that I have. We are fast reaching a point, I think, in fundamental Christianity. I told Brian Nimby this because Brian came home, and I said, what's the toughest thing about coming back from furlough? He said, visiting the churches that support us. What? He said, oh, it's not hard to see the people. It's just hard to see the change. See, we don't see the change because we're here every week. Sunday, Wednesday, sometimes more than that. Somebody goes away to Romania for 4 years and comes back. It's like, well, what happened? It's subtle, it's slow. And what we're fast approaching is a Christianity in theory only and not practice. And that's exactly what this man, the foolish man, he heard it and maybe he even had the theory of, oh yeah, that works, but he never lived it. When you don't apply it, it's like building on the sand. When you build on the sand, when the wind beats against your house, guess where it's going to happen? It's going to fall. Folks, let me tell you this morning, please challenge you. Do not fall into the deceitful trap of just hearing and not doing. There's nobody's house going to withstand the storms just because we come to church. Just because I was in church. I would take the time this morning to take you back to the Old Testament where the Jews were going backwards. Back, they were in a downward spiral, digressing from God at breakneck speed. And you know what God told them? He said, I hear what you say. The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. Modern day vernacular, I go to church. I go to church Sunday morning. I go to church Sunday night. I go to church. I'm glad you do. But I'm going to tell you something. I go to church. I go to church. I go to church. It's not going to build the house on the rock. It's taking what I get and putting it to work, applying it, not in theory, in practice. The application of God's truth makes all the difference in the world. Makes all the difference. That was the only difference, if you will, in these two men. If he had applied it, he would have built upon the rock. If his house had been built upon the rock, it would have withstood the storms of time. The only difference was he didn't apply it. He heard. Went to church. I never miss. It doesn't cut it. It's the application of truth in my life that makes all the difference in the world. It's the application of truth in your life that makes all. And I'm not being ugly this morning. Don't ever take offense, friend. If I'm coming close to where you live, I'm not anti you. I'm for you. People look at you sometimes like, boy, you're my enemy. I'm not your enemy at all. Paul said, you know what Paul told the Galatian people? He said, you've made the wrong enemy. He said, if I'm your enemy, you've made the wrong enemy. If I'm your enemy this morning, because I open this book and go down through it verse by verse and say, this is it. I'm not your enemy. If I'm your enemy, you've made the wrong enemy.
I see lives wrecked and ruined. You do too, and all messed up. Listen to what I'm about to say. It's not because of unfair this. It is not because of unfair that. It is not because of disadvantage. It's not because of disenfranchisement. It's not because that's what our world, blah, 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 blah. And they say it so often. And Dan Blather, and of course, is he gone? Did he die? I'm sorry, I should have said that. No, I'm serious. I shouldn't have said that. You don't talk about it. But all those news broadcasters, blah, 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 blah. And we believe it. And then we apply it to everything in life. Well, if it's not succeeding for me, it's because there's some disadvantage. Somebody doesn't do this. Somebody doesn't do that. I'm not quite getting the short end of the stick, and it's not equal treatment. Blah, blah. That's not it, folks. By and large, it's because some people have gotten into this thing to the place where they realize it's not just that I hear truth, it's that I apply it. And other folks are glad to hear it, but as far as you mean take it and live it on Monday? There, that's the idea. It's not unfair this, it's not disadvantage that. Bible, here, listen to what I'm about to say. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 words. Bible, truth, will work for you. But you've got to work it. You've got to work it. You've got to take it with both hands. And you've got to work that Bible truth. And I'll tell you, friend, it will work for you. It will work for your marriage. It will work with your children. It'll work with your finances. It'll work with life's relationships. It'll work in your prayer closet. It'll work. Bible truth will work for you. It must be applied in every area. Look at James chapter 1 this morning, or the book of James. You know the verse. James chapter 1 and verse number 22. If you could see my heart, I have no axe to grind with anybody. That's not the purpose of this at all. I want this to be a blessing to you. James chapter 1, verse number 22. Now I wish that I'd done what I thought I was going to do. Thought about doing. But it's too late now. I'll tell you about that in a minute. Look at verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Look at this next phrase. Deceiving your own selves. I don't know how that hits you. For me to hear and not do and think that I'm okay, I'm deceiving myself. Now, who enjoys being deceived? You ever get mad at anybody who's deceived you? And yet, look at what it's deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, it's got to be applied. It's got to be worked. It's got to be taken and put into life. In life circumstances, in life relationships, all through life. And boy, every time you do that, you're building a life on a rock. And you know how important the foundation is. You know. You know, salvation is a gift. Right? You can't save yourself. It's free. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The what? The gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're here this morning without Christ, I got good news for you. Good news for you. Eternal life is a gift. You can't pay for it. You can't earn it. If we could, it no longer is a gift. It's God's gift. Isn't that a blessing? God's gift. God gives us eternal life. Oh, man. If we repent and trust His Son Jesus as our Savior, God says, that's yours. That's one gift God gives us, eternal life. Let me show you another gift. Look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. And And verse number 7. Ephesians 4, verse number 7. Find that in your New Testament there. Got it? Paul said, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Verse 9 and 10. And then verse 11. Here's some of the gifts he's talking about. And he gave, that's a gift, some apostles and some prophets. Those are two offices that are no longer in existence. There are no apostles, there are no prophets today because we have a full Bible. Okay? Those are done. But let's keep reading. And some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Salvation is a gift of God to us. Do you know what else is the gift? Preachers and teachers are the gift of God. Now, folks, I know I'm not a very pretty package. And please don't think about putting a bow on me or a ribbon. But do you understand that I was given a gift October 15th, 1975? I was given the gift of eternal life because I repented and trusted Christ. And I was also given the gift of a pastor and a teacher. That's what a pastor and teacher is, a gift. So I get saved. I come to Christ. I'm handed eternal life. And after I get saved, I find a good Bible-believing New Testament Baptist church to attend. And the preacher and the teacher in that church, they are God's gift to me. Those are the two. He gives me eternal life, and he gives me those men, those women, to teach me and preach to me the Word of God. Are you listening? After that, it's up to us. It's up to you. It's up to us to either apply what we hear them teach and preach or not apply. Look at me. God is not going to hand you a house built on a rock. God handed you salvation when you trusted Christ, birthed you into His family, and then He puts you in a place where the Word of God is preached. And you know what He does? He hands you a hammer and a trowel and a screwdriver and the materials. He says, go to work. God's not going to build my life for me, and God's not going to build your life for you. I understand if God but doesn't build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I'm just saying we have to apply Bible truth. You know what I started to do today? Oh, I came this close to doing it. I came this close to taking, I have 55 of these. 55 of these full of sermons. 55 of them. All preached here. I have 14 three-ring binders, 9x6 three-ring binders, 14 that thick, full of messages. I have files in my drawer. I have 8.5x11 spiral-bound notebooks full of lessons. I was going to stack it all up here. Put it all up here. And ask you, can you point to one thing after 17 years that you've applied? We've all heard. But have we applied? And the same question is for me too. Look at folks, what we hear, this foolish man, it went in this ear, whoosh, and then he left saying, man, the songs were good. And 15 people shook my hand, and I enjoyed the choir. And man, the sermon was interesting. The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. I went to church. Whoosh, whoosh. Huh? Whoosh, whoosh. All right. Kids have to get used to the service. It's okay. Not a problem. You can listen to a crying child. They used to sit babies on the knee and bounce them up. Okay. But it's okay. We can handle it. It's not a problem. And these people bringing 3 and 4 years, they got to get with it. They used to. No problem. You know what the wise man? Look at this. Within this ear, now watch this. It came out. His hands, his feet, his eyes, his mouth, his thoughts came through him. You doing this number? Building on the sand. But when we get it in here and then in here, live it. It's like building on a rock. All right. Verse number, back to chapter 7. Back to verse 27. The last phrase, I'm done. Last words of this message. And great was the fall of it. And that's what's sad. It's not a matter of if, but when. Great was the fall. Boy, it looks so impressive. It looks so good. There was nothing underneath it. When the storm came, it didn't just halfway break down. I fear for people. Not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Your house is coming down. I don't mean your physical house, the house you live in, your park, whatever. But your life. Because the storms will come. They will beat. And when they do, you want to be built on that rock. Applies to everything you hear from this book about every aspect in life. If we learn to apply it, it's like building on a rock. God's word will work for you if you work it. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. I appreciate it. Now let me ask a couple of questions as we finish the message. Who would say, Brother Angel, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I'd spend eternity in heaven. There's no doubt about it. And my profession of salvation is based on a firm foundation. My profession is not based on sand. It's based on a rock. I have been saved and I know it. Would you raise your hand, please? Just ask you to be honest by the grace of God. Thank you. Take your hand. Is there one here who would say, I could not lift my hand just then. I do not know for sure that I am saved. That does concern me. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please? Somebody like that. Wherever you are sitting here, front to back, side to side, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that today? We didn't have any, just one couple visiting, but anybody else? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anybody else? Church member, visitor, doesn't matter. In town, local. All right. Somebody here today, I've been saved, Pastor, but not baptized since I've been saved. Haven't followed the Lord of believers' baptism. Haven't been obedient to Christ. A matter of Bible baptism. Pray for me. Would you raise a hand this morning, somebody? Anybody like that here today? All right. The application of Bible truth makes all the difference in what you're building on. Solid rock or a sinking sand. Folks, it's not enough to go to church and play the game. Taking what God's book says and applying it as a husband and daddy, as a wife and a mom, as a fellow brother in Christ, as as an employee, as an employer, whatever it says. But the angel spirit of God spoke to my heart this morning. I let myself kind of drop off into a numbness, a dullness. I come, I sit, I listen. But I'm going to be honest enough to say this morning, I have a hard time applying it. Pray for me. Would you lift a hand, please, all over the room today? Would you lift a hand? I have a hard time applying it. God spoke to my heart. Thank you. Take your hands down. Amen. Dear God, I pray that you'll help the folk in this room, the one speaking this morning and everybody listening, help us to build upon a rock. Help us to apply what we hear. Take your word home. Lord, it doesn't end at an altar. It just begins there. Go home and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Apply Bible truth. Lord, many marriages are suffering. And there's no disadvantage to the marriage. It's just a lack of Bible application. God, homes suffer in relationships, and people numbly and mindlessly accept it as just part of life. That's not true, God. Lord, you have for every one of us victory. You have for every one of us blessedness. The Bible will work for me. Please drive that truth, that thought home to the heart of every person here today. May we, Lord, put aside our petty excuses, our finger pointing and blaming, and start applying your word. Help us, oh God. Help husbands to apply the truth about the role of a man in the home, and the wife the same, and the parents the same, and the kids. Lord, do something. Strengthen families, strengthen marriages. May people not just numbingly accept how things are. Your word will make a difference. Please make it so. I pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You lifted a hand this morning. You're not saved. You need to be baptized. You lifted a hand. God spoke to your heart. And you'd say, you know what? I struggle with this. The altar's open. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. Would you come this morning and be honest before God? You know, invitation time is not really decision time. Decisions were already made a long time ago to follow Christ. Invitation time is communication time. It's God, you spoke to my heart. You spoke to me. This is what you said. I'm coming forward to recognize what you said to me and respond back to you. I need to be different in this area. I need to have this changed. I've not been applying Scripture. I've not been living the Word of God. Going to church is not enough. Sitting in the pew hearing the messages. Truth applies. He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a man who built his house upon the rock. Would you come this morning? That's what invitation time is. Responding to God as he's talking. Not sure you're saved, please come see Brother Caleb standing in the middle of the aisle. Middle aisle here, he'll tell you and give you to somebody that can show you how to be sure you're on your way to heaven. Or if you don't know what it means about following the Lord, believer's baptism, you come. The big thing is that the Word of God speaks to your heart this morning. The application of the Bible makes all the difference. Dear Father, please, when we leave here today, give us a newfound determination. Dear God, may we not just mindlessly go through the week, but Lord, as we encounter every situation we come across these next 6-7 days, help us, please, to apply Bible truth. May we apply Bible truth to our devotion life, our marriage, our home, our work. Dear God, please, help us to build on a rock this week. And I'll thank you for that privilege and opportunity. And Lord, thank you that your book works for me. I know it works for people, these people. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.